Good morning, everybody. Our first reading comes from Acts chapter 3, and it caught my attention. I wanted to rewind a little bit right before the current reading to put it a little bit in perspective. What had happened was that there was this crippled beggar, and he was sitting at the entry gate of the temple. And it says that Peter and John, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it was the hour of prayer, they're going to the temple, and they find this man there, this crippled man, who is lame and he is begging. And the word of God here says that he asked, when he saw Peter and John go into the temple, he asked them for alms. And I just want to like point out a few things as I read this. Like, it's so interesting. Like, here's two apostles who have been given the powers of Jesus, and this beggar is simply asking for a few coins, you know? And it made me to realize that sometimes we ask for scraps from God when he wants to give us like so much more. We're like, oh, like, Lord, just help my day not stink too much today. Or like, help my kid not go to jail, you know, or like, how about be a saint? Like we should ask for so much more from God. God loves when we ask big things from him. And so this beggar, he just says, give me some coins. But Peter and John look at him and they say to this man, look at us, like in our eyes, like make eye contact. How often do we do that with the people who are begging from us? Maybe they're begging for money. Maybe they're begging for a minute of time. Maybe they're begging for another juice. Who knows? But to make eye contact with those who are begging from us. And he says, look at us. And so he looks, and Peter looks at this guy and he says, I don't have any silver or gold, but what I do have, faith, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk. And then the word of God says that Peter puts his hand on him, his right hand, and the man is raised up. Which is just like wild, because can you imagine? Who does God want to touch through your hand? Who does God want to heal, to do a miracle through your hand? Crazy to think about, but we ought to think about it, because God just could have worked the miracle, but he chooses to work through us. The other day at school mass, we had the reading of the loaves and fish, and how Jesus could have just like made them dump out of heaven, but he chooses to work through this boy who has 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed 5,000 people. Like, God likes to work through you and me his miracles, which is really crazy. We're channels of his miracles. And so then the guy is raised up and he jumps for joy, praising God. And it's like our gospel today where these, they are incredulous for joy. Like, they can't, the word incredulous, they cannot describe where does the joy come from, but they know it. They can't put words on it. And here's a test of your Christianity. When was the last time somebody looked at you and said, why are you so happy? Because if we are living it right, if we are living our Catholicism right, and we are living in the Lord and Lord in us, like, yeah, the life circumstances happen. Situations of life happen, but they don't consume us. They don't define us. There is a joy embedded deeper within that overflows no matter what. And people look at us and say, why are you so happy? And we say, because of what the Lord has done for me. That's what this guy, what he says is that I'm so happy because I have had an encounter with the risen Jesus who has healed me. And guess what? He did it before. He can do it again. And the Lord has worked all. He has done it before. He can do it again. And he is doing it again every day. And that is the cause for our joy. St. Peter says we should always be ready to give a definition or an explanation for the reason for our hope, the reason for our joy. And it is the risen Jesus who is alive. And that's what this guy, he's like jumping for joy. He's incredulous for joy. And then our first reading picks up where Peter is talking to everybody because people think that Peter is the one that healed him. And he's going, no, I didn't do it. Jesus did it through me. He worked the miracle through me. And he reminds all the people. He says, remember that day when Pilate put before you all Barabbas and Jesus? Remember that day? And they're going, yeah. And who did you pick? Barabbas. But guess what my footnote told me? Something that I never knew. You want to know what Barabbas' first name was? Jesus. Did you know that? Jesus was Barabbas' first name. The word Jesus means Savior. In other words, Pilate put before all the people two Jesuses, and he says, which Jesus do you want? Do you want the Jesus Barabbas or Jesus the Christ, the anointed one? And they picked Jesus Barabbas. Why? Because Jesus Barabbas had blood on his hands. He was a murderer. He wasn't just a thief. He was a murderer. Who did he murder? He murdered the Roman soldiers. Why? Because they were occupying Jerusalem. And at least Jesus Barabbas looked like the Savior that they wanted, because he was going to knock down all these people. But what Peter says here is that the Jesus, the Christ, is the one who can knock down the devil. And that's the real enemy. That the real enemy is not other people. We can have our disagreements with them. And we do have disagreements with people. It's real life. But they're not our enemy. The devil is our enemy. And guess what his favorite trick is? To pit us against each other as humans, but to put us against each other as Christians and even in families. That's the goal of the devil. Let me make them to think that I'm not their enemy. Let me make them think actually that I'm their friend. And this is the classic trick of the devil. He's horrible. But Jesus the Christ is the one of these two. And Peter goes, Jesus the Christ is the one who raised this crippled man. Jesus the Christ is the one who has worked all of the miracles. He is the one who alone knows how to knock down the devil. And the thing of it is that Scripture proposes questions to us even to this day. And the question that is proposed to us, which Jesus do you want? Do you want the Jesus that will knock down your supposed enemy, the person that disagrees with you, that doesn't think the way you think, the way that this person that wants to, is that, you want a Jesus who's going to come and knock that person down? Or do you want a Jesus who is going to come and knock down the devil and put him in hell where he belongs? That's the Jesus we better pick, is the latter one. I was remembering as I was praying over all this, that several years ago I was assigned on a diocesan project with another priest that I did not see eye to eye with. And I lost so much sleep being upset with this priest. And what I realize now is that priest was not my enemy. We were on the same team. We had drastically different ideas about many things. But he wasn't my enemy. The devil is my enemy. And I look back and that whole thing seems so small now. But in the living of it, it seems like, you know, so big, you know. But the devil is the real enemy. In the gospel today, that Jesus is made known to them in the breaking of the bread. He is made known to the apostles, the disciples, in the breaking of the bread. They're incredulous for joy. They can't explain where it came from. And in the breaking of the bread, which we experience at every holy sacrifice of the Mass, in the breaking of the bread, we have deliverance in that Jesus, the Jesus the Christ, who alone gives deliverance from the real enemy. All of our readings today talk about the real enemy, talk about sin and Satan and all his power. But in the breaking of the bread, in the sacramental life of the church, in the mystical body of Jesus, we have deliverance from the only real enemy. Praise Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.